Being Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax Living. Crook. Well, the US elections are done and dusted, and Donald Trump will be sworn in as the country's 47th president on the 20th of January. Climate activists have described his win, which comes days ahead of the crucial COP29 conference in Azerbaijan, as a major blow to global climate action. Trump has called climate change a hoax and notably has threatened to pull the United States out of the Paris Agreement again. The agreement calls on countries like the US, which is the world's second largest emitter of greenhouse gases, to help developing nations in their climate mitigation and adaptation efforts. Well, I'm joined now by Llewellyn Leonard, a professor of environmental science at the University of South Africa. Llewellyn, thanks for joining me on the program. In terms of the polluters must pay principle, what could Trump's victory mean for the COP29 negotiations?
Yeah, I think Donald Trump's election victory will now significantly impact COP negotiations and the polluter pays principle, I think particularly affecting the U.S. climate policies. Trump has, as you mentioned, indicated intentions to reprioritize U.S. energy policy that will increase fossil fuel productions, and he has previously withdrawn from the Paris Agreement in 2017, so indicating limiting emissions, which would actually hurt the U.S. economy. So this move, again, could actually weaken international climate ambitions by removing one of the, you would say, the world's one of the largest emitters from the cooperative framework set under the Paris Agreement. So essentially make it much harder to hold, major polluters accountable for emission contributions. And I think his administration would likely also scale back on domestic climate policies and just also dismantle Biden's environmental legacy, particularly through, you would say, reducing regulatory requirements and supporting fossil fuel production. So this approach will make it actually challenging for COP negotiations to advance on the polluters must pay principle.
Countries in Africa, of course, are the hardest hit by climate change, even though we've contributed the least. And we've long been calling for reparations. Any chance that we'll get any African countries in COP29?
Well, African nations have been calling for climate reparations to address this profound impacts on climate change, but also the historical emissions from developed nations. So African countries, while they will be there, they will be emphasizing the need for more direct grants over loans. And, as loans could further entrap African economies, already strained by climate-related damages and existing financial liabilities. So there will be reparations, but, how much reparations and will it be sufficient is actually questionable. So African nations will want, financial support for sustainable development, targeting renewable energy, food security, climate-resistant agriculture, local infrastructure, and things like that, and advocating for, mechanisms that will comply wealthy nations to fulfill these climate finances, and also, look at more funds from the Loss and Damages Fund, which was created in 2017.
One of the things that you have mentioned is that there, and many others also, is that there needs to be a reduction in fossil fuel use. And there was that agreement in the last COP29 to transition away from it. But I've seen suggestions that Trump's drill, baby, drill sort of policy that you mentioned is not only going to see the United States using more fossil fuels, but give other countries leeway to do the same.
Yeah, that's very much true. I think if one looks at the BRICS plus countries, when I say BRICS, it's not just Brazil, Russia, India, China, but also now that it's Saudi Arabia, Iran, the UAE, Egypt, and also Ethiopia. So together, these countries are responsible for 56% of global emissions based on producing only 28% of the global GDP. So unfortunately, there's been this ongoing refusal by the West and also the BRICS plus to admit, for example, putative liabilities, and the amounts raised for adaptation costs has also been, not sufficient. And also COP28 saw no tangible commitments to secure these climate finance. So I think that's going to be a major focus as well at COP29, and we'll just have to wait to see, what is forthcoming.
So negotiations are going to be tough, but what are you hoping might possibly come out?
Well, I'm hoping in terms of, climate reparations is going to be a key element that's going to be stepped up. As you see with the previous Loss and Damage Fund, which was started actually in 2022, it was aimed at compensating nations for the irreversible damages. And I think this must be built upon and improved in terms of reparations. I think what we've seen is that, you know, it's not been sufficient in terms of what was raised. I think by the end of last year, 2023, we saw $400 million raised. But unfortunately, this is actually not sufficient enough in terms of supporting, you know, countries sort of adapt to climate change. If one looks at what's actually required by African nations, if the figure is closer to $53 billion US dollars annually till 2035. So I'm hoping that there will be the financial commitment from those who are responsible, and that support is provided to the most vulnerable communities, especially to the African nations.
Thanks there to environmental scientist Llewellyn Leonard. And the COP29 Climate Summit gets underway in Baku on Monday. And that's it from me, Glenn Scrook. Take care and goodbye. Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of RE/MAX Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, RE/MAX Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email Galinda at remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, RE/MAX Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. RE/MAX, the leaders in real estate. Yeah.